Welcome to St. Kieran's. It's lovely to be with you today. My name is Kevin O'Donoghue. I have the great honor and privilege of sharing God's word with you today. I'd like to thank Reverend Mike and the leadership once again for the privilege I have of being with you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the lovely and precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. I want to pray for each person that's listening to this message. Not only will you bless them, but you'll strengthen them today in Jesus' name. I've recently been going through the Minor Prophets and have been enjoying it. And so today I'm going to share a Minor Prophet with you that I'm sure you've heard many sermons about and can remember it from your Sunday school days. And that's simply the book of Jonah. Now, as I was going through it, I found an interesting title by a chap called Roger. I can't remember his surname, but he said the following about Jonah. And this is the title that he gave: Jonah, What Ticks You Off? And I thought that was a brilliant summarization of the whole book of Jonah. There is a chap called Ben Moreland, and I heard him once say, "You cannot necessarily measure a man by wealth or fame, but you can tell a lot about the person what it takes to upset him." Isn't that so true? My scripture today is found in chapter 3 of Jonah, and reading from verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Please take note, it was the second time that God spoke to him and said to him, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to them the message I give you." Verse 3, Jonah obeyed the word of God and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city proclaiming. And this was the sermon, very short, very powerful. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Niveites believed God. A fast was proclaimed to all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. And so they came to repentance. I recently heard a lighthearted story about this mom went into her son's room to wake him up and said, "You've got to get up, you've got to go to church." And the son turned to the mom and said, "I'm not going to church today. I want you to know it's cold and wet and rainy outside. That's my first reason. And my second reason is that the people don't like me." So the mom looked at him and said to him, "Listen, I'm going to give you 2 good reasons why you should go to church today. First and foremost, you're 49 years old. Secondly, I want to remind you that you're the pastor of the church. So get up and get to church." As I was going to the book of Jonah, I suddenly realized there are many things that influence us in our life as we've gone through it. One of the things is we could be influenced by something that's a fear factor. Other times we're influenced by the great things that have happened to us, that have blessed us and guided us. But I just want to pause here again and just remind you, do you remember your Sunday school days? And I'm in the generation that was brought up when Sunday school teachers used to use flannel boards. And we used to love watching the unfolding of the biblical stories as they put different figures onto the flannel board. And that had a great influence on my life, right from a little boy. In 1965, I was 11 years old. I was in Pietermaritzburg and I was walking down one of the streets and I saw that there is a new film that's come out and it was called simply The Greatest Story Ever Told. And as I looked at it and I saw, wow, one of the actors is a guy called John Wayne. Now, I used to love reading cowboy books, even at that age, and thought, well, this is going to be a great Western. Well, it sure got ticked off when I went to that movie. First and foremost, it was 4 hours, 20 minutes long. And by the time I'd finished watching that film, it was all about the life of Jesus. I was very embarrassed when I walked out with my eyes red and tears were still streaming down my cheeks as a little boy. So let's look again at the book of Jonah. It's considered to be one of the minor prophets. The English language is very interesting because if I use the word minor, it often refers to something of lesser importance or a small problem. But if I use it as a noun, it would be, and referring that to a minor child, it would be an underage child. If I use it for music, it would be a minor key. On the biblical side of it, it's very interesting that really what minor prophet or minor means in this case, it's a shortening length. Nothing to do with it's important. The books are just as important as any others. Now, there are a way to remember the book of Jonah, and something that has helped me over the years. It's divided into four chapters. The first chapter simply speaks about a storm. The second one speaks about a fish. The third one chapter speaks about a city, and the fourth one about the Lord. I had a son recently who went to Japan, and while I was at the airport and I was thinking about this whole book of Jonah and was meditating on it, and I suddenly realized that my son was leaving Cape Town and his destination was going to be Japan, and he would arrive there by plane. And so as I reread the book of Jonah, I realized again that he would leave Israel. His destination was Nineveh, and he would arrive there on a fish. In chapter 2, the fish was the thing that he left, and his destination was Nineveh, and he ended up on a dry land. Heard an old preacher once preached, and he said the following. He says, even a fish couldn't digest Jonah, a backslidden prophet. That is very interesting. Then the next thing is in chapter 4, he leaves Nineveh. God takes him to a desert, and there is a vine that grows over him. And he arrives, and the arrival side of there is talking totally about how precious our God is and the heart of God. Now, I want to just remind you that Jonah goes to Nineveh. There's a great revival. The whole city gets saved. Then if we skip Micah and go straight on to Nahum in chapter 1, verse 1, we suddenly discover that the city that had been serving God now gets destroyed. And in fact, it takes happens to be just four generations later. My question that I have, and meditated quite a lot on this, is what caused that city to stop serving God? Well, I guess that is a sermon for another day. Let me come back to what ticked Jonah off. First and foremost, I don't blame Jonah for trying to escape and not go where God wanted him to go, simply because he had a very thorough knowledge of the Assyrians, and he was scared of them, and everybody was scared of them, and also they weren't Jews. So the Assyrians were really a brutal nation. They were feared, they tortured people, they put them in the sand in the deserts and buried them up into the necks, and nothing but the neck and head stood out. Then they would tie a thong around the person's tongue and leave them to die in the desert. Another thing they would use quite often was to skin people alive. And so I can go on and mention a number of aspects of their cruelty and atrocities that they committed. But my question that's been going through my mind a lot about Jonah was simply this. Is Jonah still relevant today? Well, I want you to know that there is good news. This is one book of the Old Testament which sets forth the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is a foundational belief of all of us. We believe that Jesus died and he was buried and he rose on the third day. In fact, if you read the book of Jonah, the first time he's mentioned is in 2 Kings, and Jesus himself in Luke chapter 11 verse 30 and Matthew 12:39 refers to Jonah as an example. Secondly, I love this particular scripture in Jonah 2 verse 9. It says, salvation is of the Lord. So folk, no matter what happens, salvation is not earned by works. Number 3, we see that God is faithful to his word. In chapters 3 verse 1, Jonah becomes obedient, and we see God fulfilling the whole thing about the city being saved. And the last thing I want to just mention on there, that in Jonah chapter 4 verse 2, Jonah has a big crisis in life about what God had done for the city. But one thing he does say about God is that God is good and gracious. What a lovely scripture. The scripture that I find very encouraging and hold on to when things are going good or bad is found in Psalm 107 verse 1. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. So folk, I want to just remind you once again, this is a book of the Old Testament which sets forth the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Salvation is not by works. Number 3, God is faithful to his word. And just remember that no matter what happens and how we're struggling, God is still good and he's gracious. I want to just conclude with a prayer, and then we'll close with a beautiful prayer that we also find in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 verses 14 to 21. Dear Heavenly Father, what can I say? It's such a privilege to pray for each other. I want to pray for anybody, God, who might not be well today. Father, you said your hand is not shortened that it cannot heal. So we pray for them today. pray for those that might be going through a bit of loneliness. And Lord, I just thank you that you said you stick closer than a brother. Lord, if anybody else is struggling, no matter what it might be, we just lift them up today and thank you, God, that we can pray together at this time. In closing, I would like to read from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this his love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him is able to do immeasurably more than we ever ask or imagine, according to his power that is in work with us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forevermore. Amen and amen. Have a blessed and great week. God bless you all.